Amen. We're going to begin with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing by your Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, for your protection. We thank you, Lord, that the Word says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty God, that you are our refuge, our fortress, Lord God, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Hallelujah. We just thank you right now, Lord God, and we give you the praise. Lord God, we thank you for what you're doing in this school of ministry. And we thank you, Lord God, that we are walking in honor. And we thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for just you being the God that you are. Hallelujah, our provider, our provision, our protector. In Jesus' name we pray. This being our last class session class, I just want to reiterate the last four class sessions, last week and the week before this one, are all reviews of what we talked about throughout the course of the semester. So your tests will specifically be coming from these last four class sessions, which is a review of everything we talked about over the entire year. So when you take your quizzes, and I do advise you, as always, to take your quizzes, hang on to those quizzes, because your test questions will be coming specifically from each and every quiz that we've talked about over the last four class sessions. All right, we're going to continue on. And we were talking about loyalty last week. We're going to continue in that same vein. The core strength of any great organization depends on its members walking in loyalty. The core strength. When you have a group of people in a church setting or in a business or any type of organization, if each and every person is walking in loyalty, and a commitment to the cause, commitment to the vision, that's the core strength of the organization. But when you have disloyal people or disloyal members, the organization is going to be weak, because, use that expression, you're only as strong as your weakest link, So you want every member in your church, in your organization, to be loyal, and it's gonna be a core strength that's gonna cause that organization to thrive. Amen. Okay, let's move on. Without loyalty, every network or organization of churches will constantly undergo competitive jealousy, dissension, and finally disintegration. I'm gonna read that again. Without loyalty inside of an organization, that church or organization will constantly undergo competition. In other words, people trying to compete against one another, which will result in competitive jealousy, where there's a lot of jealousy, and then you can get into strife and all kind of other stuff, and then there's going to be dissension where, nobody's agreeing on anything. So there's a lot of dissension going on. And finally, because nobody is flowing together, that organization will disintegrate. But loyalty is the key element that if everybody's walking in loyalty, we have this saying, as one man, everybody flowing together, and that's so very important. One of the things I teach our new members class, and I strongly, make a point of them knowing what the vision of the church is, because that's everything hinges around that vision, changing the lives of people with the Word of God, equipping the body of Christ to evangelize the world, the home of covenant winners. We all strive to be covenant winners. We all strive to evangelize the world. We've in the last month or so, well over 200 people have come to the Lord just through personal witnessing, and that's because of loyalty. And when that happens, it brings honor, but it makes everybody flow together. Amen. All right, let's move on. When a person belongs to a group, a ministry, or a company, develops an independent attitude, he becomes autonomous within that group. And what I'm talking about really is a person with an independent spirit. In other words, it's okay to be able to think by yourself, but just don't think for yourself, opposing everybody else, you know, going against the grain. So what I'm getting at is when a person belonging to a group or a ministry or a company develops that independent attitude or spirit, he becomes autonomous within that group, which is right, you know, because they become separatists. They want to stand alone or have their own selfish agenda. And so you want to be very, you know, one of the key elements of a person beginning to walk in disloyalty is when they trying to think independently against the group or not in, I want to say, in opposition. You know, in most cases, there is a hidden agenda somewhere leaking in the background, which is, you know, disloyalty that's breathing. And when disloyalty fully manifests itself, it's going to cause that individual to walk in dishonor. So we want to make sure that, you know, we're very aware of people with an independent spirit. Let's move on. A person with an independent spirit obeys only certain instructions, only the one they thinks that's important to them. You know, give you an illustration. We may be having prayer meetings, say on a Friday, and all of a sudden, the apostle says we're going to start having prayer meetings on a Saturday, and then that person with the independent spirit says, "Well, I already have plans every Saturday of something that I want to do, so I'm not coming to prayer." You know, in other words, it doesn't fit my agenda or my schedule, so I'm not doing it. You know, I'm not making the sacrifice. You know, a person with an independent spirit will say, "Well, I generally pray at the house on Saturday instead of coming and assembling together on a Sunday." Even though the scripture says to forsake not the assembly of ourselves together, and knowing that every time your man of God makes a decision, it's for the entire church, it's for the entire organization, so that the blessings of God, as we follow Him and He follows God, you know, God now His blessing has an avenue to flow through. So you want to be careful about and guard against people with an independent spirit. The Bible says in Matthew 24:10, and I talked about this earlier, that when a person becomes offended, they will betray one another. When you become offended, and you know, I talked about that last week, you know, you offend the process, but at the same time, when you betray somebody, you break the trust. And when you break that trust and betray, you're walking in dishonor, because you're not being loyal like we talked about. You're not that respect and that and honor is not there where you're walking as one man. You become a separatist. All right. So the Bible says in Matthew 24:10 that when people become offended, they will betray one another. Loyal members, now this is a good one. Loyal members will always comply with the dictates that come from the head. A loyal person will always comply, immediately comply with the directives, the instructions that come emanating down from the head. You know, a pastor being the head of the church, an apostle being the head over a region of other pastors, and when he gives the instruction, everybody follows suit. I always use the illustration of the military because I always thought that was a, you know, they're a key element of people following instructions. Excuse me. I'll never forget this one movie where a guy who's a colonel says, you know, people always obey my orders. If they don't obey my orders and follow what I tell them to do, people die. You know, so my instructions are crystal clear, you know, and he was very adamant about it, you know. But that's in the military, you're trained to follow orders. But when it comes to spiritual things, sometimes people think, well, I can just do what I want to do. And they have a lackadaisical attitude about it. But, you know, in a situation that we're in now with the virus going around and people dying, over 1,000 people have died in the United States, you best follow orders emanating from the head, because your very life could depend upon it. Think about what happened with Moses when the death angel came and God instructed Moses to instruct the people to put the blood of a lamb that was a spotless lamb and over the doorpost and over the lintel and to eat the flesh of that lamb. You know, those people who followed instructions, the firstborn in their families survived. But those who didn't, when God came and the death angel came through the city, their firstborn was stricken to death. You know, so believe me, we're getting back to the time where apostolic government, apostolic instructions are very vital to our very lives and our very livelihood. You know, not only our health, but our wealth, you know, sowing into the anointing. All those things produce honor, but they all are for your benefit. And that's what is so very important. So a loyal member will always comply with the dictates that come from the head without question. All right, let's move on. When you begin to exhibit a spirit of independence within an organization or ministry, let it be known that you are slowly becoming disloyal to that organization or ministry, which if not checked, will lead to dishonor. You know, so that independent spirit is the first phase of being disloyal. But then there's another phase called being passive, and we talked about that. Then there's the third phase, which is a critical phase, you know, and it moves on until you eventually just completely just walk in dishonor and you dishonor yourself. Amen? So let's move on. Although we are supposed to submit to the wishes. Now this is, I'm talking about, let me make sure I get his name pronounced correctly. Joab, although he was supposed to submit to the wishes of the king, who was King David, Joab went ahead with his own plan and he killed Abner. And in that story, Abner met with King David and formed a truce with him and said that his men, Abner's men, were going to be loyal to King David. And King David, Abner says, well, I'm going to go and talk to this other group of people, and I'm gonna get them to come under you, and we're gonna all submit to you. And so the King David had a feast for Abner and his men, but Joab was out in battle or doing something else. But when he came back into the city, he found out that King David King David and Abner had come to agreement or a truce, and he wasn't having it. So he set out privately to kill Abner because he, for some reason, didn't care for him and had him. So in other words, what I'm trying to say here is, although the king opted for peace, Joab, with his own ulterior motive, own ulterior hidden agenda, decided to do what he wanted to do. You see, that's a separatist. You know, that was an extreme case, as I stated when we first talked about this. But sometimes it could be little subtle things. You know, like I'm not changing my diet. I'm not, you know, I'm not giving any more than my tithes. You know, and all of a sudden a famine comes in the land, and those people who continued giving even during the famine were the ones God sustained, because he says, I own a cattle on a thousand hill. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. And God has a million ways he can get your money to you. But when you obedient to apostolic government, you know, the blessings are going to come down. But when you got your own, you know, own agenda, that you, I'm just not doing it, you know, or you walk in fear, all of a sudden now when calamity hits, a catastrophic event like we're experiencing now take place, you don't know what to do. You panic, you know, and you see God is equipping us now for what we're, or he's been equipping us over the years for what we're experiencing now. You know, so, you know, it's better to be equipped and to have your arsenal and have the word and know who you are before the tragedy and the calamity comes, because if you wait till it hit, then you're in trouble, you know. But, you know, getting back to the scripture, the question here, although he was supposed to submit, and the key element here was submitting to the wishes of the king, Joab went ahead with his own plan, and he killed Abner. All right, let's move on. Well, the next question, it talks about offense, and we've talked about that. You know, when you walk in offense, you stop the process of the recovery that God wanted to do in your life because you got offended, and the blessing stopped with the offense. So you want to never walk in offense, but always, you know, yield. Amen. Moving on. When a person is in the passive stage of disloyalty, the disloyal process, he or she does not involve themselves much with other church members or other people. They do not want to be bothered. They kind of stay to themselves. And the reason why this is important, because, you know, as leaders in the church, it's very important for us to look out for people who are passive and not getting involved in the work of the ministry, you know, especially if they were at one point in time in their life. And all of a sudden, you know, I never forget one of the things Apostle would always say is, you know, you have some people who you see them on the front row, on the first couple of rows, and then a couple of weeks later, they're in the middle of the church, and the next week, they're in the back of the church, and before long, you won't even see them no more. You know, a passive person will, you know, because they might have got offended, they don't want to be bothered, you know, because they feel as though, you know, I'm not liked or I'm not appreciated or whatever, you know, the enemy has tricked them. And so because of that offense, they now slowly as a passive person, move further and further away to the point of where they just completely and totally disconnect. So you don't want to get into that passive stage. The next stage is called the critical stage. The critical stage of disloyalty is when a person notices and magnifies faults, errors, shortcomings of other members, even the pastor of the church. A critical person finds fault in the preaching of the word. They'll find fault even in the order of the service, you know, even in the color scheme of the sanctuary. They're critical. You know, they're always looking for something to criticize or something to find fault in. Instead of flowing with the man of God, they always have something to say, and in that stage of disloyalty, you're leading further and further into dishonor. All these aspects of disloyalty that we talked about is a person who walks in honor, they have complete and total loyalty to their man of God, to their ministry that God's called them to, you know, to the vision, you know, to their assignment. But the minute small little things begin to creep into a person's life, they now begin to walk in dishonor. But it starts really small. The Bible says that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's those small things that creep up that if you don't deal with it right then and there, it festers and it gets bigger and bigger. And before long, it overwhelms you and you don't see no way out but to get out, you know, and lose your blessing. You know, I've seen too many, you know, men and women who were blessed of God and had a call of God on their lives, but they let the offense, and then by the offense, then they became either passive or critical, and before long, you know, their foot was already halfway out the door, and they dishonored themselves by, you know, God wanted to do something in your life, but because you let these things creep in and not deal with them, now you're in dishonor, and the blessings of God can't flow. And with that said, let me move on. The anointing of God always flows down from the head to all the parts of the body of Christ. When you position yourself properly and honor the apostolic source, honor your pastor, honor your apostle or your prophet, even honoring your mother and your father, you know, people who are over you, your boss, you know, the anointing that's on them flows down into your life. Let me read that again. The anointing of God always flows down from the head to every part of the body of Christ. When you position yourself properly, and that's a key element, positioning yourself properly, you always want to stay in position. You walk in honor when you stay in the position that God's called you to be in. If you were in the choir or in the praise team, stick with it, you know, because you've been anointed and gifted for that, and God is blessing you in that area. You know, if you worked in the nursery or if you were working a parking lot attendant or whatever. And one thing I've learned, when you stay in your position and fulfill your role and your assignment in the body of Christ, the Bible says that promotion comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from the north, from the south, or the east, or the west, but it's coming from God. God sees your faithfulness, your loyalty, and he'll promote you. But when you position yourself properly and honor the apostolic source in your life, the anointing that's on him flows down from him down to you. The Bible says, just like the anointing oil that had ran down Aaron's beard. Aaron was the high priest, and that anointing oil ran down from his head. The ointment ran down onto his shoulders, down the skirt, and you know, the head being the person God has assigned to carry out the vision. But then there's the shoulders, which uphold the head. There's the arms, which carry things for the head. There's, you know, the legs, which causes the head to go to various. So somewhere in the body is where each and every one of us fit. You know, you might even be the little toe, but believe you me, that little toe has a significant. If you cut your little toe off, your whole equilibrium is impaired. You can't walk straight. Something so small, but it has a vital function. So it's a lot of times it's the feeble, the members we take for granted, the positions we take for granted. We think that they're not necessary, but the Bible says they have even more comeliness. They're more important that you don't even see, you know, because a lot of times people like to see the big picture. They like to see that, you know, there are people who like, I like to be the one in charge. I like to be the one in front of the camera. I like to be the one doing the ministering. But in order for that to happen, there's a lot of supporting cast and people that makes that possible, that their positions and their roles are just as vitally important. And so it's very, very important in the area of honor that you stay in position. You stay in position. Amen. All right, let me move on. I got a few more minutes left. This is something that we've talked about. And if you miss this on the test, you automatically fail the class. There is no greater seed than an honor seed. It will produce the greatest level of harvest in your life, greater than any other seed you can sow. You always sow honor seeds. You know, I always keep extra change in my wallet. So if my man of God is around, you know, when we were coming here, my wife came with me and she asked me, we were passing by the bank. She said, do you have extra change in case we run into an apostle? We'll have a seed to sow. You know, you remember Saul. Saul went to see Samuel, but he said, I don't have a gift to give him. But luckily, his sidekick, the guy who was with him, says, yeah, I have two parts, a shekel of silver and gold. I have some stuff that we can give to the man of God that we can go before him. In other words, the key to that was you don't go before a man of God empty handed. You know, you always want to have a gift. See, that produces honor in your life. You honoring the apostolic, and the apostolic now, that anointing on them turns upon you. I can't underemphasize that enough. That's so very, very important. So the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. It will produce the greatest level of harvest in your life, greater than any other seed that you can sow. Sowing seeds of honor is an established kingdom principle. And we talked about this last week, based on the law of sowing and reaping. You know, it's an established kingdom principle based upon the law of sowing and reaping, which is found in Genesis 8 and 22. Amen. All right. I'm trying to see if there's any other thing that I want to bring out. Um, My desire is for each and every one of you, when you graduate from this school, when you move on in ministry and in life, that you sow seeds of honor, and that you receive the honor because of the obedience, because of the loyalty, because of the respect that you have towards other people. You know, following the chain of command is so very important. I can't underemphasize that enough. Honor is bred through that, you know, knowing order, knowing proper protocol. All of those things bring honor to your life. And if you don't get anything out of this class but the fact that I need to sow honor seeds, then you're well above the curve, because it it's blessed my life, it's blessed my wife's life, my family's life. You know, honor grows the generations, but dishonor will castrate your destiny. So you want to always make sure that you are a man and a woman of God that walk in complete integrity, honor, sincerity, loyalty. No matter what you do, put your heart in it. Never half-heartedly do anything. You know, God, the Bible says God doesn't look at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. You remember when Samuel went to anoint Jesse's kids, and he brought all his best, biggest and strongest sons, and he said, no, he's been refused. And then all of a sudden he said, do you have any more kids, any more sons? You know, I'm not going to sit down until I anoint who God's called me to anoint. And he said, well, I got one son. He's out in the field tending to the sheep. He said, get him, go get him. And the minute David walked in there, he was the one, you know. But, you know, I used to have this expression, you know, never. The word I want to say, don't take for granted that you're on the backside of the mountain, that nobody, never think that nobody see what you're doing, because God is omnipotent and omnipresent. The only person you want to see what you're doing is God, you know, because when you serve God, you're living for God and you're serving him. And it's not about so much other people seeing you, but it's about you fulfilling the will of God for your life, honoring God with what he has blessed you with, you know, doing what God has called you to do, you know, and God will go get you from the backside of the mountain or on the far end of the field, you know, to anoint you, because it's during those years or those times of preparation, those times of study, those times of getting before God, those times where nobody see you, it's just you and God, where you are being at those times cultivated. You are being at those times, God is placing things in you. You're learning lessons and you're making mistakes. But all of that culminates to a point where now God has called you and given you an assignment. And when you first get that assignment, it'll appear to be bigger than yourself, which it is. But because of the fact that now when David goes to the forefront and he's up to face Goliath, you know, he said, the same God that delivered me from the bear and from the lion is the same God. He had some experience on the backsides of the mountain with God. And God did some things for him, you know, where nobody else saw it but just him and God. Well, he developed a relationship with God. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, you honoring God and you developing a relationship with him, just like David did when he was tending to the sheep, you know. And God made him a ruler over all, you know, the nation of Israel, you know, but it started tending the sheep, you know. It seemed to be something very minute and insignificant, but he was being nurtured. He was being groomed for greatness. So don't never underestimate or take for granted that, you know, I'm just cleaning the bathroom. I'm just picking up paper. I'm just directing traffic. But hey, you have no idea what God has in store for you. But when you honor, you know, I remember the first job I had, it was cutting grass, not with a weed eater, but with a swing blade on the side of a tank. And I never forget, I said, Lord, if I'm going to be doing this for the rest of my life, I'm going to be the best grass cutter this company has ever had. And It wasn't long I got promoted from one level to the next level to the next level, but it all started with being somewhere that seemed to be insignificant. In Jesus' name, I thank you for all. Lord, I just thank you for this class and for the school. Amen. Be blessed.